How many don't have any trouble agreeing with? We're so close to something. We're so close. I thought that revival was measured by, well, let me put it this way. Whenever you had revival, it was just all dessert. You know, strawberry shortcakes. Cake, strawberry cake. Strawberry bread. And you'd think that whatever causes revival, and as you grew closer, it would be like walking in the park where somebody already cleared the brush and a nice path for you. If that was the case, there'd be revival in front of you, wouldn't there? You'd just be walking into it, wouldn't you? Make no mistake, though. We're so close. I don't even know when I had this vision. I wasn't sure that I dreamed it or it presented itself to me. All I know, just all of a sudden I had it. I don't know if I woke up with it. I knew two things. I had it. And I knew it was from God. It wrecked me. There's this kid. He's all twisted up. With whatever part of his body would work, he was reaching out. He could talk. 4 or 5. He could talk. His body was twisted up. His diagnosis. Learned to live with it. But he reached those little hands out, you know. He says, please, don't leave me this way. He said, promise me, please, don't stop and leave me this way. That's very bold in the dream or the vision, whatever it was. He said, please don't stop. Don't leave me like this. And I told him, I won't. Hallelujah. When I say we're getting just so close to something, if you were to ask me, do you think there's a target painted on your back? I'd say, no. Because I found out it wasn't painted, it was a neon sign. Let me ask you something. Mark 4. Why does Satan come? What's his purpose? And what did he define himself in Mark 4? Jesus said he come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. But the sower sowed the word and Satan come, about 6 months later. And what was he after? Why Do you think that's so important for him to be the first thing to come after? I mean, Jesus even gave you the list of the things he uses. Would you think that the most dangerous thing that you wielded could possibly be the truth? Well, why would he have to make it such an issue that no sooner sows it than he's there? He's there for one reason, to remove, to absolutely remove, change, destroy all traces of truth. The best success he has is not just to take it all away. That'd be kind of stupid. He gives you an alternative to believe usually. It's usually a lot of religion with no power. Look at your history. Why is it so important for him to come and take the truth away from us? It's the most powerful thing you have. I can remember a day in times past when I would beg. No, not for money. Thank God. Long time ago, I'd beg. God, please. Especially if somebody's in pain. Please. God, I'm begging you. Especially somebody you really love and they can't take it, you know. God, please. 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 And then we start offering him deals. I'll sell out. What do you want? If I would have realized how an insult begging is to God, I'd never done it. I thought that I was supposed to beg him, talk him into doing something, when the whole time he's the one that came. He's the one that paved a sovereign, unchanging road to the cross. He's the one that bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. The Father is the one who put his Son through this. And who did he do it for? For me? Me? And after doing all that, you'd think for one minute he's not trying to get it to me. Do you know what an insult it is to beg him for something that he sold his Son out to, who paid such a horrible price to make what you need available, and you think you have to go to him and beg? No. No. Beg somebody that has decided not to, doesn't want to, and you're trying to get them to do it. Well, that's not his case. How could I say this? Had quite the time in Brazil. I was standing there like I usually do, waiting on God and taking direction. And he said, "There's somebody out there that's had a sore throat for 2 years, and it's caused by a growth. That's why it's never went away, really." That night, that guy goes home starts coughing and hacking at 4 in the morning and choked up this growth about this big around. And he brought it back in a jar. His throat hurt no more. For 2 years it hurt. Anyway, they filmed it and everything, him testify holding that thing up in a bottle, you know. Don't you just love it when he does things like that? Hallelujah. Well, the miracles got so strong. Like a woman had her arm fractured in 5 places from here down. She couldn't move her arm. Like this, like that. Did you know when he does a double curvature or something, you've watched it, it can be that far off and it'll just, everything on that side just shifts and moves. And then the other side catches up when you hold your hands up. Well, I tried to pull her arm up and it'd only go there. So I reached down under it and I went and pushed him up like this. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And just like those arms, too, the little arm goes. She goes. You know, that's him. And she couldn't, that stupid cast. So she went to the doctor and he took it off. And the next day she comes back and her hand, everything to work in. This woman was excited. But you know how bad it shook people up? About 300 was filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you'd say, how many do you think was healed? Easily out of 1,100. That's all the enrollment can take. Out of 1,100 that came, somebody kind of kept an estimate account. 400. Well, something else happened too. How many remembers to recognize him? I was glad. I could just see the screen, see the guy on the screen, knew what he was talking. This is what he was saying. No. He rounded the figure out. I'll just, for $995.95. Or maybe as much as $1,000. If you give my ministry $1,000, God is going to give you $100,000. Now I just pray and say, just skip him and give me the other money. So this guy walked by and he saw the screen and he goes, oh, that's a bigger scam than the world has. So, you know, here's this guy standing there testifying with their crutches and stuff. And, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. But the third screen, had to do with that key that he's unlocked my last door. The key before that was private worship, and he'd finally managed to wedge open the door of love. I thought that maybe it was revival. The door cracked open and light leaked out from behind it, but it wasn't. it was the private worshiping, just helping unlock that door to the love of God. And that is what I think now was beginning to pour out. And I got close enough to get into some of it. And to me, this is one of the most exciting things that happened in Brazil. From the time he came on me with his love, and you know I haven't been able to get off of it. How many can testify to that? Since he's dropped it on me, I can start out on anything else and end up here. See? Well, the world, you know, they can walk by. And I found out that this love that he has is it's as tangible and can be felt as a presence as sure is the kind of power that can knock you off your feet and lay you down on your back. As sure as I'm standing here, there is an anointing with his love. It's very, very tangible and can be felt very, very powerfully. Well, here we are in Brazil. With the language barrier. But even with the language barrier. With the third screen. Whoever this was or whatever was happening. He was just reeking with an anointing. Different. Different than the other two. You know, although I don't care about the first one, but I like the second anointing. Those miracles. But here this guy. How could I roll him up into one person? Hateful, discouraged, untrusting, done dirty by everybody, full of hatred, and he just don't care. This is the third guy that comes by. He walked past the other two, money grubbers, you know, phonies. But there was something about this other anointing that it seemed that the presence of it was so heavy. So heavy that he just got about halfway through and just collapsed, sobbing, weeping, and saying, I've never felt anything like this before. Well, in Brazil, how can I know who they are with the language barrier? But when his anointing came, like that, only I wish that strong. People that looked like they made a living administering the 39 lashes, you know. That's what they looked like. Mean. used up by the world. And go there and just start to pray for them, or just get ready and watch them just lose it. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thought that the private worship was just having a kind of effect on a worship service or something. That's what it, you lead worship, that's what it does. You know, you do a lot of private worship, you get up and lead worship, yay, yay, God comes. We could talk about the law of meditation, the law of confession, just for a minute. Tell me, you read a paragraph. Okay, read that paragraph. Pretty good paragraph. If you read that right now, and I say, okay, quote it back to me, word for word, comma for comma. You couldn't do that. I couldn't either. Yet if you made it a point to read it about 30 times and pay attention. Well, that's strange. If you could do it after 30 times, then you must have a capacity up here to do it. Wonder how come I can do it after 30 times and can't after one. I mean, I must have the capacity for it, because how could I retain it after 30 times if I didn't have a capacity? What'd I do? If you memorize one book, you can memorize another one. When does it stop? How much storage you got? Okay. You go into the prayer closet, you know. You call yourself healed. Devil says you're not. You're going to die or something. You say, no, I'm not. Why aren't you? Because you're going to take that truth that the devil tried to get away from you at an early stage in your walk. Truth says he bore your sickness and carried your pains. We esteemed him smitten, smitten of God, and afflicted. His wound, our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement, actually, for our lack of peace, was laid upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So he died under the penalty of any disease you want to name, any suffering you want to put your finger on. Surely he's borne my sickness. He carried my pains. They were loaded on him like a burrow, and he died under the penalty of them. There is no disease that he didn't die of. That means when I died with him, I already died of those things, so they're not going to kill me twice. Not going to kill me twice. Well, what would happen if I look at that? Surely he bore my sin and carried my pains. Therefore, I'm healed. Yeah. What happens in your mind when you walk the floor and say it 100 times? Well, I'm. No, you're not. What if you call yourself healed 300 or 400 times? Something begins to happen inside of you. It's like you couldn't memorize it from reading it once, but after 30 times, hey, I can quote this thing back. Yeah, something starts happening inside of you. You're not moving God. He's already done it. If you're moving yourself into a place to receive from him, because you won't stop. Let's talk about the love of God. See, now we're talking about an anointing. You having a healing anointing for people. Do you know when you pray for them, they can feel it? How many's ever felt that tangible presence? I mean, some of you must have. You ended up laying on the ground. I mean, do you normally go to church and lay on the ground? when God healed teeth, he healed about 50 people's eyes. But when he healed teeth, they were checking each other. Everybody was looking in each other's mouth, and I thought, oh my goodness, if a stranger walked in, he'd think we flipped. What would that look like? We know that God does things tangibly. We know he comes. How many's had him come with peace and the trouble left? How many's had him come with such strength that you couldn't stand on your feet anymore? Then tell me, when he talks about the one thing that never, never fails, what makes you think you couldn't feel that? So tell me something. One of the first things he taught me when I broke into what you'd call private worship, I sang songs about him. I worship, my God, my God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Now, after you sing that, you know, a couple of times, two or three, you realize that, yeah, he is. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody that's hearing you sing, after they endure the talent, then they start hearing it too. I went from my singing about him to him. I know a lot about him. I found some of my favorite sayings when I was in worship would be, I want to thank you for loving me. I want to thank you for loving me so much that you sent Jesus. And Jesus, God, you loved me. You loved me. You died for me. So I worship you and glorify and magnify and extol and I lift you up. I want to thank you. You can't do that a day or two. It starts getting real tangible. You can't keep doing that without ending up believing it. You know what we're up against? Let me tell you who we're up against. How awful he is. First there's just Adam walking around. And then there was Eve. Just two people on the planet running around in the garden. Then the devil comes in. Devil goes to work on one of them. He gets him to work on the other one. Her. To work on the other one. And pretty soon, the whole population of the world fell. Then he said, replenish the earth. And so they had Cain and Abel. Did you know the worst war ever fought in the history of the world wiped out 1/4 of the planet? That's when Cain killed Abel. Here there's only 4 people. One of them kills the other one. And that's why God is still walking around saying, what are you doing? Now, just because there's millions or billions of us now, doesn't make him any less dangerous. Our opposition is stubborn. And what he wants to remove from you is the truth. It's the truth. Now, well, you can't encourage yourself in that private worship and keep worshiping him. That eventually, that instead of saying you're healed and thanking him for it, that eventually it becomes reality and it manifests in your body, and there you're standing there healed. You're not going to tell him that you love him and worship and glorify him past wearing that flesh out, and here you are the next day and you've already said that. Another hour ticks by slower than it did yesterday. Yet as stubborn as the devil was. Look what he did to the first 4 people. Yet, you're not going to do that without eventually, just like any other anointing that comes, a tangible anointing of his presence and his love. As far as I can see, it's beginning to succeed in places where I fail. All right. Come on. Yeah. You think that he loves you any less than when he had 4 people? Or 3? 2? I tell you what, he don't have numbers. 800 trillion is nothing to him because he came from forever and he's gone to forever. And only we got in on it and we're going to forever with him. That if for some reason you're thinking he don't have time for you, I have some really good news for you. That's all he has. That's all he has. And if you don't think that he loves him, when you step into his presence per se, that I'm going to stop my current schedule, what I'm doing at the moment, and this next step, I'm going to step into your presence. I'd like to fellowship with you for a while. And if you don't think that there's nothing he won't do for you, then you'd better think again. He confirmed to me this week that the devil is terrified about this word. is horrified. He's on pins and needles. That along this road that you're really going to find out somewhere. You're really going to find out that Christianity really is a family, not a religion. And He really, really is your Father. When you learn to approach Him as your Father, then all those little old simple, so simple little parables things, something you can understand, your natural mind, it illustrates a spiritual application. They're so simple, yet they'll carry tons of weight with them. Tons.
"Will you teach us how to pray?"
said the nasalated apostle.
"Can you teach us to pray?"
He said, "Sure. You say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven.'" What a way to start. Do you mean it? Do you mean it? Or do you mix Him up too much with God? "Our Father." Do you really mean that? If you were blessed enough to have a good father, what could you not go to Him? Didn't you feel safe? Come on, "Our Father." Really? Really? That's not what religion's done to Him. "Our Father." Really? And what masterful example that we have to use physics and Einstein's theory of relativity to figure out. To get prayer answered, let me see. What equals what now? "Consider the fowls of the air." Yeah? Yeah, they create a certain poundage of air pressure under their wings, and the equation is that no. How about the beauty of the lilies of the field? You Jews know about Solomon? Not one of them came close to Him in the way He was clothed. You know His next questions were? It was kind of a mystery to Him. He wanted to know how it is that you have no faith. How basic do we want Him to go? What are you worth? Angels procreate? No. Does anything else that we know of that's been created? Oh, the animal kingdom. But nothing like angelic class, no. Well, how do we know what happened before? We don't. He's forever. Well, how about ahead? We don't. But what we do know, He's our Father. We know angels don't procreate. He created every angel for the service He created them for. This is what makes us part of God's family more than anything else. We have the power procreate an eternal little creature. 18 billion years from now, he'll be somewhere. The question is where? I've decided to have revival. I've decided that I can have what he said I could have. Why don't you open Luke 17? I'm really not going to teach. Just read. I've asked for an increase of faith, if a person can do that. I found out what brings it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Luke 17. Still taking these verses apart. I just love Peter. Every time I teach on this, I read this verse and comment on it. I know it was Peter here because it was Peter and Matthew. Jesus was doing the same teaching, only these caught different parts of it. Luke came along later. But when Jesus started talking about forgiveness, Peter wanted to know how many times. I got a kick out of that. And so he says seven, and Jesus says, and Matthew says, no, don't you try seven times 70, Peter. And I think it sent him into shock or something. He wasn't really shooting for a high number, and then when you got to that, the next time you don't have to. All right, this is 491. You can get lost. I forgave you 490 times, now I'm going to shoot you. So I'm glad Peter asked him this question, because I want this too. Mostly in these teachings here in Matthew and Luke, they're talking about believers who have just come aboard. Baby believers, and offending them to the degree that you could cause them to fall. That is something that does not make God very happy. Well, it doesn't make him happy at all. So, begin with the first verse here. Then said he unto the disciples, it's impossible, but the offenses will come. Woe unto him through whom they come. It was better for him millstones hanged about his neck, cast into the sea. They should offend one of these little ones. Take heed, put a guard on yourself. If your brother trespasses against you, go ahead, tell him. Look, you're not supposed to do that. You know that's wrong. If you repent, forgive him. If you trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again saying, I repent, you're going to forgive him. And the apostles broken down in the original, Peter. Peter said, my God, man, increase my faith. But in Matthew, which we would have went over, of course we taught it in both places, but he said, I say not unto you seven. It says seven times 70. And again, it was same teaching. Only he's pretty severe in the teachings. If your hand offends you, cut it off. foot offends you, cut it off. Or in other words, whatever it is that causes baby believers to fall about you, you'd better deal with it no matter how bad it hurts. I can believe, but the weight that he's put on this, and it's not too often he spends a couple of chapters just teaching on one thing. Well, when he said that to Peter, he said in fourth verse, and who trespass against thee seven times a day, turn again, saying, I repent, better let him go. And that was too much for Peter. These apostles said, Peter said, oh God, oh my God, you'd better increase my faith. So then whatever the Lord was going to say to him then would bring an increase. So, and this gets so interesting. The sixth verse, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be planted its sin, should obey you. But then as he goes on to teach how to increase their faith, you know, he says, but which of you? And he uses questions as a teaching tool so they can examine the question and the light that they are walking in. Makes a good teaching tool. But I'm not after that part right now. Of all the times to ask for increase of the faith, I think when the ship was sinking, I think I'd ask that. Or maybe had multitude and nothing to give them. And after I saw what he did with two fishes and five loaves, I'd say I'll take an increase. So I'd like to do that. Oh, no, no. Did they ask him? Oh no, Mom. When he said, Houston, you got to forgive this guy up to 490 times. Oh, my God. You better increase my faith. Well, that's okay. We've heard this. If he's talking to the apostles about an increase of the faith, I want to know the formula. See. Then he says, see that sycamine tree? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, which we've admired all these years, you can say, plucked up by the root, planted in the sin, that thing will obey you. Well, Peter just asked for an increase of the faith. You know, his was so he could forgive that 490 times. He says, I need help. Well, he didn't just leave it there. I like what he did. See that tree? If you had this much faith, you could move that thing into the ocean. Well, then he goes on to ask them a few questions so they could examine themselves to see if they had that kind of faith. And both the big teachings he did on this covered an entire chapter or more. He's talking about the kind of faith that moves a mountain or to move the sycamine tree into the ocean. When Peter asked for an increase, so it was to forgive. But he made reference to the tree first. Then went on to ask them some questions to examine their lives in the light of them and make some changes. Well, if taking an offense, walking in unforgiveness, walking in strife, causing people to fall, hurting them. Sinners don't want to get saved because they watch you. You know. You mean to tell me that me straightening those areas up has to do with an increase of the other kind of faith than when it moves the tree. The mountain. Yes. It does. Well, I have some good news for you. You're not going to keep habitually praying in tongues without being delivered to the love of God. Holy For indeed, when I stepped into the Spirit, I was speaking His heart that the reason many are going to fall short is because they're missing that one ingredient. Therefore, they shall be caught up into many things and diverted. But if you'll stay on this path and continue it as I lay it out to you, you'll not be diverted, nor will you pull up short. You will finish all that I have given you to do. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and know in my love, and this key, it'll take care of many, many problems that sometimes you don't even know that you have until they're erased. So be strong and continue in my spirit so I can continue to put the right key in your hand at the right time, says the Lord. Ooh. Wow. Well, how would it increase my faith? Well, let's just put it this way. Oh, I'm not supposed to walk in strife and stuff, but oh, there's something about Mark, you know, icky. Yeah. Then I start worshiping God, and that love starts manifesting in me. Pretty soon it gets to that part of me that's able to do that. To be mean. I mean, the two isn't going to stay in the same vessel. They won't mix. And I'll think that God's just blessing me, but He will have eradicated something that was keeping my faith from moving in that area. Now that it gets eradicated by the love of God, all of a sudden He's moving there where at one time He couldn't move. So, don't stop praying. How come you can use confession adequately now? Because I understand it. At first I thought, you're just repetition. That's what you're doing. You're full of repetition. You think you're going to be heard for your much speaking? You think the devil pulled that on me on every round? But I knew there's something to it. And there is. I would hear nothing, say nothing, and deny everything else that wasn't the truth. And I kept saying it till I believed it. When I got to studying some of those men of God, they really did something, you know. God used them powerfully. I was looking for a common thread. For so many of them was stopped. You'd think after where they were walking that that would be almost impossible. All people can do is speculate. Speculate, wonder where mine is, you know. We look into something that we don't know a whole lot. But we do know that whatever the problem is, God is sure using them. And I wanted to know about the part of surviving, and not only surviving, but all 12 of the apostles, they pretty much went out and did what he did. From translation to being translated to raising the dead. Because he made disciples. Not just one of them succeeded. Most who they trained in the early church got off the ground too. Devil took a long time to introduce religion and mess things up. This part I think I know for sure. If the love of God had been keeping up with the power, some of them wouldn't have been destroyed. Well, I plan on finding out. Hallelujah, Jesus. If it's allowed to grow and to become as much of your nature and actions as the power is, then it seems to take care of those troubled areas that could take you down. And I do know this. It was the most fearful place and the hardest fight that the devil put up. He seemed to be more fearful and fightful over me discovering more about the love of God than anything else. He would have rather me go after and spell it out, the word power, than to know God like that. Wow. I'm speaking in future tense and not in unbelief. But we're going to have both. And I don't just want to see 50 wheelchairs emptied. I want to see you empty. I'd like the mark of us training people be that they go out and they do the same stuff. Jesus made disciples. He didn't make men that had depended. Most pastorates, you can't get to God unless you go through them. Our dependency's on them. We don't know how to look to God. We're supposed to be pastored, but you're supposed to be discipled too. Yes, these signs will follow those who took extra heed to look at that verse and or who believe. These signs will follow who? That's right.